Luke 14, chapter 3, 14. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, of John the Baptist, saying, "What shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." We started on content yesterday. It means to always know that you are sufficient, there is sufficient or has enough to handle anything at all times. Now, it's the rarest contentment, along with peace and joy and all those other things, are not acts that happen or moods that happen once in a while. If that's the case, then you're still a spiritual child. Contentment is a state of being, just like humility or repentance. They're all states of being. And so the unusual would be if you are not content. But for most people, even believers, there's mostly not content, and then every once in a while, there's contentment, there's humility, there's repentance. But you've got to flip the coin. So that contentment, humility, peace, repentance is a way of life. And it's only on the rare occasions when you're not content. And that brings instant repentance. There's no excuse for staying in a state because you think that you're going to change your circumstances and it will then give you what you think you want. That's never true. Contentment is the state of being, in Christ on the mercy seat, knowing that the will of the Father and the grace of the Father and the mercy of the Father is always enough. That's what's appointed to you. It's always enough. And if you're not, there has to be instant repentance. Amen?
I think about Paul saying, "I've learned to be content." Right. Something about that learning that maybe he's repented his.
Yeah, let's go to first. We looked at a couple, but let's go to 1 Timothy 6. This is the first few verses are all about the false teachers. That's in verse 5. "Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And having food and raiment, let us be therefore, or therewith, content." Food and raiment, therewith be content. Now that first major experience after my conversion, I didn't have food or raiment. I was cold, hungry. And I heard these idiots, you've heard me talk about it many times, but I said, "Father, did I not hear you correctly?" And then he confirmed that I did hear correctly, and as I was telling Gary yesterday, the next thing I knew, I had a trade out for an apartment, and I was eating for free at this Berean school that had three meals a day. But I had to reach the point where I had to wait on him, never ever leaning on your own arm of understanding. And that confirmed to me at the earliest, within 3 months after I was a believer, at the conversion experience, I knew that was Christ in me, the only hope of glory, but it hadn't been tested. And then when it was tested, then I've never doubted since then. And that's available to everybody, but you have to have this place where in some critically important place in your life, you have to wait. And in the New Testament, it says, "Eye hath not seen, and ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that love him." But that's a quote from the Old Testament, from Isaiah, that says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them that wait on him." Now, waiting is the, it's everybody says, "Oh, it's the hardest thing for me." It's the hardest thing for everybody to do, to wait. It's just common, ordinary flesh. But there must be that transaction so that you know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If you don't know he is, if you're not convinced for sure that he is in you, then you can't repent, because what are you going to repent to? Nothingness. You can say, "I'm sorry I did something," but that's not repentance. That's the worldly repentance. So this thing of contentment is the great tell in the cosmic poker game. Amen? Everybody see that? Anybody doesn't see it?
I have seen this.
Okay, good. But if anybody is silent, then your silence is a witness against you. That's a big deal. All right, back to, let's another one, let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. This is when Paul had the so-called experience where he, his Damascus Road experience. Well, it may have been another one. And then it's the famous thing in verse 7, he says, "At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." God, I can't believe he only did it three times. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, and in reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. Now let's go to Hebrews 13. Verse 5. "Let your conversation," and we all know that means your manner of life, "be without covetousness, and be content with what such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me." Amen. One more, a third job. That's right after second job. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember. Well, wait a minute. I got to go up.
What verse?
Well, verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, or whoever, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Not content, not content, not content. All right, back to Luke.
He wanted things his way.
Amen. Not content with his wages. Wages is opsonion. Anyway, it's a word. Opsonion. It means the wages or the hire or the result of whatever it is that you're doing. Let's look at Romans 6. Verse 22, or 21, what? 20, I'm sorry. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, no matter what it is that your mind does, your mind is sin. You are sin. Whatever you think up to do, no matter what it is, its wages of our death, or is death. So that's why we must be his disciples. And his disciples are clearly defined when he said, you are they that continue with me in my temptation. His only temptation was to not be in that moment of perfect subjection to the Father. He had the power to do anything in the universe. He could have created new worlds. He could have abolished sin with a snap of his finger. He could have abolished hunger, pain. Oh, I kind of wish you'd have done that. Pain, everything, with a thought. But he was not about man's business. He was about his Father's business. And his Father's sole business was to create a bride. For God so loved the world there is cosmos, or the adornment of the bride, that he gave his son. He loved the bride, so he gave his son. He didn't love the world out here. That's crazy. That's Ion. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen? All right, now we get to the scriptures I've been waiting for. Let's go to Luke 14, 15. What?
This is the good stuff. What did you say, Luke 14?
Luke, I'm sorry. It's Luke 3, that's where we are, verse 15. I'm not all here, but... So he went through all these things, first for the publicans and the soldiers, and then verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, all people mean people are as laos, not the country, but that's the Hebrew, I mean the Greek word for the people of the same language stock, the people at large of the same stock and language. But the expectation is this humongous thing. It's prosdokeo, and it means earnestly looking for. And we're going to look and see some of these so we can maybe understand what it is we're about. Plus, I get to play with my chart. Okay, let's go back to Luke 21, Luke 1. Okay, this is, remember, when Zechariah had his job then was to light the altar of incense and other things inside the holy place. Remember, he went in there and the angel saw him. He saw the angel. And then outside, verse 18, was that right? Verse 17. And is that what I want to do? No, okay, here it is. And he's in there a long time, you remember, the people were all waiting for this because it was a big deal when he came out of the... And in verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. Remember when we just got through studying that. But they were waiting expectantly, because if he didn't come out of the temple, that would mean that the altar of incense would have lost its value. So that's one expectation. Now go to verse 8, chapter 8 of Luke. Where Jesus cast the devils out of Gardena, whatever it is. In verse 38, Now the man of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him, waiting expectantly. Let's go back to Matthew again and see it. Matthew 11.
I'm a little lost at what we're doing here. There's a theme, but I'm missing that.
All right. In Luke, we're studying Luke 3, verse 15. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not. They were in expectation of some humongous thing. And that word expectation is what we're studying. And we're seeing it means waiting expectantly for. And I want to show you what other examples of that same word where people were waiting expectantly so you get a sense of the urgency.
I turned the volume down. I really did.
That's no volume? Wow. We're waiting expectantly.
There's what we want to make. Harry, I can't resist. I don't call it in.
Matthew 11.
No, this. I know this has kind of been that theme that you're talking about, and the publican, is that something different from what you're talking about now?
Well, the publican is a totally different thing. The publican is a is a guy that.
Of the flesh. Yeah,
you expect something from people to. This is expecting. The word reason they were in expectation was the end of the 70 weeks of Daniel was up.
They were expecting something from
God. They were
God.
Expecting Messiah. That's why they were musing whether John was the Christ or not.
I got you. I'm with you now.
Okay?
Yeah, it's like what I heard a minute ago was there's grand expectations, but they were expectations that Jesus would be the delivering Messiah.
No, it doesn't matter. They were still expectations
whatever
of Messiah.
It is, it's different than what it is. I mean, we can't correctly expect, I don't believe.
We can now.
We can now because we've seen something.
Right, they were expecting a Messiah, and some of them were expecting the Messiah as he was, and some of them were expecting a Messiah to deliver them out of their Roman Empire and other issues. So they expected a Messiah of time and space as opposed to a Messiah of eternity. Okay? All right, Matthew 11. And it came to, we studied just one the other day, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities, in their families, in their whatever. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now the word do we look there is the same word. If you're not the one, we're still looking for the one. Okay? Because the whole nation was expecting Messiah. All right. Now we go to, let's go back to Psalm 9.
Was Jesus also expecting Messiah? Or had he already seen it?
As Jesus, when Jesus was 12, then he was eligible to be a part of the minion. And after that, he was every three times a week in the synagogue, and then every time he went to Jerusalem and had the prescribed readings. He began to have this dawning awareness of who he was. And that was fulfilled on the Passover, I mean on the Rosh Hashanah when he was 30. And then it was fulfilled, he knew it for sure, at his baptism. Because that's when Jesus, as Son of Man, had to die and be buried. After that, he was Jesus, the Son of God. Okay? But Psalm 9. This is This is why the gospel is only to the poor. The poor has nothing to do with money, as you've all heard me say, but it needs repeating. It's the poor are those who are not able to complete a thing they want to complete. It's the Greek word paktos. But it does it, it probably, it takes more than one little thing that you can't complete. It takes a series of things that you can't complete so that you begin to understand that's your position. And then you see a series of things you can't complete, but by empathy, you see there's nothing I want to complete anyway. That's the real meaning of poor. Okay? Everybody understand that? So don't be surprised if you're not able to do what you think you want to do. Because that's the Holy Spirit. But if you rise with determination, rugged individualism, you deceive yourself. Because again, then you're simply going to the refrigerator to get another glass of sour milk. And you do it over and over and over and over. Right? So here, this is great. Verse 17. It's whenever it says the wicked, it's called, it means the wicked one, which is you. The wicked one shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. The expectation of the poor. Again, what is the expectation of the poor? It's that Messiah is revealed in them, and that shall not perish forever. Now let's go to...
What was that?
That was Psalm 9, verse 17 and 18. Now we're going to Romans 8. I suppose I could have put these in order so you wouldn't have to go back and forth.
Where's our handout?
What?
Syllabus. We can write one after this.
For as many, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons or the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now remember, adoption is a strange word. It's huiothesios in the Greek, and it means the placing of the fullness of the Son. You have, it's a strange word because we think adoption, we're going to get a little kid in China and pretend he's ours. But this word for adoption is grand because it fulfills. Huios is the word for a fully mature person. And thesios is placing. So it's the placing of the fullness of the Son in you. Got it?
And by that, you can cry, Abba, Father.
Right. And there's no more none of this crap about, well, he's growing in me. No, he's not. He already did that. If he's growing in me, then you have this righteousness. Or you can pretend you do. Okay. How do you get off on that? Okay, we'll do this one and then we'll stop. I don't know. If I promise you, if Joy Santa weren't here, we'd keep going.
No, because we have to clean the floor.
Well, that means we keep going more.
Boy,
okay. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And it's 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be, that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, the word, the earnest expectation, is the same word. Prosdokeo. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Now, how can all, and this says, this is that word that means all men. Do all men have this earnest expectation? Yes. If they come to the end of themselves, there is Christ. All right? For the creature was made subject to vanity, subject to just being kind of stupid. Subject to just, the creature is like, oh God, but Gary, turn that damn thing off. For the creature was made subject to vanity. And the great creature, every one of us, we're like a mouse crawling up an elephant's leg with a rape in our mind. It's just, we're ridiculous people. But since the whole society is like that, then everybody thinks, well, that's the right thing to do. Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Well, what's the hope? That you will come to the end of yourself and Christ will be revealed. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Well, we've got a little bit more on expectation, but for right now, anybody have any response to any of this? Everybody say amen? Amen. Take it, big guy.